Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a climb. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Shit 90 shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I don't want to alarm you, but I feel something's a-coming.
Oh, God. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah. It's on its way here. I'm not going to say that we're going to get snowed into this podcast, but it could very well happen.
If that's the case, Winston will keep me warm.
Yeah, I don't have to keep you warm.
One needs to get naked.
No, you have a 100-pound dog to keep you warm.
He's 80-something, but you know.
And I have two dogs that equal 25 pounds, and yeah, they can keep me warm, too. Do you know Shih Tzus were bred to be feet warmers?
The only reason I knew that is because you've already told me once upon a time.
What a bitch. Let me live.
It's not my fault that you like to say Shih Tzu facts. It's not my fault.
The only thing that I learn is Shih Tzu facts.
I learned so much on vacation. I know a lot more about, like, wild animals.
About everything.
About life.
Right? So you just came back from vacation.
Yeah.
We're recording our first episode since you've been back.
Yeah. No, you listeners wouldn't have noticed a difference because we were putting out podcasts every day anyway. Or not every day, regularly.
On a regularly scheduled program. We have put out a podcast every single day. Can you imagine? If you did not see that in your podcasting stream, then you have to contact iTunes.com and tell them.
Contact iTunes and demand we need more of this podcast.
Excuse me, why is my Shit 90 Shows Taught Me podcast not in my podcast feed?
Every single day.
And they're going to be
people would immediately unsubscribe. Yeah. Like, this is far too much.
They'd be like, ma'am or sir, good sir. This is not even a prominent podcast. Why are you even impressed about this? It's like, have you checked out the Lady Gang? Or maybe even can we point you to Office Ladies?
Yeah, there's so many better things you could be listening to.
Yeah.
But you're here with us and we appreciate it as always. Because we're here to talk some Boy Meets World. It's been a minute since we've talked about Boy Meets World in real time. And I'm excited to get back into it, especially with these two episodes, because one, I think, is like, I can't believe this was actually an episode of television.
Yes.
And the other one I really liked.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Jessica, before we get started, have you ever joined the mob?
I mean, even if I did, I don't think I'm supposed to reveal it on a podcast.
You took 23andMe, right? Like, what's your percentage of Italian?
I've actually never done a 23andMe. Or I should.
You never took like a DNA test?
No.
Turns out I did. Turns out I'm 100% that bitch. 0% Italian, actually.
I was going to say, I am also almost positive I'm 0% Italian. I'm mostly like German, Irish, like white European is what I, right. what I identify as.
Yeah.
White European. So no, I'm not at all Italian. But I understood. We just finished The Sopranos in our household. I've already seen it. I was rewatching it because my husband had never watched it before. And we just finished it. And so like this was very like, you know, spot on for just having finished The Sopranos.
Yeah.
The episode. Easy Street, episode 12 of season 4. Yeah. Very fun episode. I'm like excited to dive right in. Are you ready to dive into this
episode? It's a Christmas episode.
How is this a Christmas? This is like, I know it's supposed to be a Christmas episode, but like,
it's a Christmas episode because the only reason that like Sean justifies joining the mafia is I wanna buy Christmas presents for my friends and family.
Yeah, why doesn't he ask his dad for money, considering his dad now has a job and is, like, raking in the bills?
A good old 9-to-5.
Exactly. But anyway, Easy Street. We are in Zaddy Turner's class. He's dressed like a sexy Poindexter time traveler. And Topanga's reading The Road Not Traveled, which is like everybody had to read this in English class, right? Like everybody read this poem.
If I did, I don't remember, but
wasn't that good?
Yeah, it's a poem, right?
Yeah, yes, a poem. Is that how people do you say poem or do you say poem?
I say poem, but I like to say poem.
Do you think it sounds fancier?
I do.
Is it like when people say Nietzsche?
Nietzsche
instead of niche.
Fettuccine instead of fettuccine.
Fettuccine?
I don't know. I don't know.
No one... Is that like the gobble ghoul?
Nobody says that.
So we got to get Tommy on. He's Italian. He would have been able to advise us on all of these things.
Yeah.
Special correspondent. Italian correspondent, Tommy Pizzullo. Oh. Anyway, yeah, he's like legit Italian. So we get Corey and Sean falling asleep in class. And I love them, like, the back and forth of the snoring and the yip-yips.
Yip, 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 yip. Would you be the... I think I would be the yipper and you would be the snorer.
I'm a heavy breather. I take offense to, like, being called a snorer, but, like, I'll say I'm a heavy breather
because I have allergies. Would you be doing the yipping?
No, you'd be the yipper.
I'm definitely the yipper.
The yipper, like the skipper.
Yeah. I love when Feeny comes in and he's like, that's strange because in my class, Sean is the yipper and Corey is the they switch positions depending on like what class they're in. And I thought that was very funny.
I really love when they wake up and they don't know whose class they're in because Feeny and Turner.
Yeah. Where am I? Who's like, I don't even know what class I slept through.
Yes, and I love how Turner is like, I think of them as job security.
Yeah.
But they get this huge assignment over Christmas break. Again, it's like every break they have these freaking giant assignments. And they're supposed to be writing about, like, their choices and how their choices would affect their lives, basically. Yeah. Like, they're supposed to write down every decision they make and how it could affect their lives. Yeah. Which, like, you make a lot of decisions in a single day. So to do this over in your entire Christmas break is, like, a bit much.
It's a big project. Like, thinking about, like, what decisions I made today. I decided to actually show up to my doctor's appointment. What happens if I missed it for the third time? I don't know.
There you go.
What
happens if you didn't go to Starbucks today?
What if I didn't go to Starbucks? I got my phone. Like, what would I do? There's so many decisions that you make in a day. Maybe when you're like 15 years old, you don't make as many decisions, but it's still a lot. And they talk about like what the last decision they made was. And it's apparently they both got jobs during their winter break.
Very responsible of them, I will say.
Yeah, because you know what's interesting? Like, I was thinking, like, did Corey ever have a job in this show? Because obviously we see Eric has to work, but I couldn't remember Corey having a job. But apparently this is, besides babysitting, this is his first job, and he got it at a local restaurant, while Sean has a quote-unquote cushy job at the docks.
Yeah, we'll see how cushy that job is in a moment. And meanwhile, our other storyline for the episode is we're at the Matthews Wilderness, whatever the hell.
Wilderness Outpost.
It's so stupid. I refuse to say the actual name. It's so dumb. And Lonnie is apparently still around. And she's really upset because she's not going to be with her family for Christmas. Her mom's going to cook a goose and bake pies and cookies. She starts crying. Eric's comforting her. And she, like, actually wipes her nose on his sweater, which is fucking gross.
But also, Eric likes it. It's like, I'm going to save this sweater for the rest of my life.
With snot all over it? No, thank you, ma'am.
It's going to crust up. Disgusting. Ugh.
Yeah. And so she's like, he's like, you know what? I'll drive you home. And she's like, it's 500 miles. And he's like, I will drive you home. We'll have so much time in the car together to bond. And she's like, giddy.
Yeah, she's elated. Very happy. He's definitely
500 miles.
500 miles is like 8 hours.
Okay, so like a full day of driving.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It's I mean, it's definitely a drive, but it's definitely a drive where you can, like, fall in love with somebody.
He really is treating this like it's a rom-com. Yeah. And he doesn't understand he's not the main character.
I mean, who is the main character? I don't even know.
I mean, Corey is.
Corey's the main character. So we see Corey at his new restaurant job.
Yes.
He's like a little like busboy, right? Like, or like a little waiter. I don't know, but it's like
he seems more like a waiter than a busboy. He's actually even making like cappuccinos, which to me, like on your first day to be making cappuccinos,
big job. So this is like some sort of like Italian restaurant with literally nobody in it.
Except true like Sopranos to me.
Yeah, except for Mr. Fontaine and Mr. Martini, played by Buddy Hackett and Soupy Sales. And basically Corey is like nervous around these two guys, and they're like very Sopranos-esque.
Yeah, they're very mafia-esque. They end up liking his cappuccino, which apparently he added a dash of cinnamon to. I like his initiative.
It's very basic to add cinnamon to a cappuccino, so I say low effort. Yeah, but
if someone didn't ask for it, though, you're taking a risk.
I think it's standard with a cappuccino.
No, that's not standard unless you ask for it. No one's putting cinnamon on your cappuccino.
I disagree.
Well, if you go to Starbucks, they're not going to put it on there unless you ask.
That's true, but at, like, a fine Italian restaurant, I think that they would.
Fair.
But they like it, so then they like him.
Yes. They love Corey. They want him to accompany his new bride to the beauty salon. This is, like, a big deal. And Corey's, like, happy because he's getting tipped, like, buco bucks.
$20 to...
Big time stuff in the 90s. $20?
$20 to escort this girl. And he's worried about it. It's like, well, my new boss is going to be, you know, is not going to want me to do it. Yeah. And then the two guys are like, we'll take care of him.
Yeah. We've got Sam. Don't you worry. We've taken care of Sam.
Don't you worry.
Yeah.
So it's very not safe.
No. And Corey is so, I love Corey because he is very naive. Like, I feel like that is one of his more like endearing personality traits is how naive he is. And I feel like I would have been him, you know, at that age. Like, I wouldn't have realized what was going on, you know. I just love how like innocent he is. He looks through the world with like baby's eyes, you know.
Yeah, rose-colored glasses.
Yeah. Unlike Sean, who's working his new job on the docks.
I think that Sean's acting was so good in this scene.
It was.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, though? Did you notice anything different about Sean's face? Or I should say,
He has a gap in his two front teeth.
Oh, that's not what I was talking about.
I never noticed until these two episodes that he has a gap in his two front teeth. And it's like,
no.
Is this new? Did you get, like, punched dude? Like, what happened?
That wasn't what I noticed. What I noticed was I feel like someone plucked his eyebrows.
Oh, so you think that he has a gap in his two front teeth and his eyebrows got thinner?
They look thinner. I'm telling you, someone gave him more 90, like standard 90s spermy brows. Oh, they're looking quite spermy.
Don't. You can't say that Sean has spermy brows.
Look at his eyebrows. All right. I'm not even trying to shade him.
Let's take a look. Number one, if anybody knows about this gap tooth. Now, as somebody that is also a gap tooth, like, I get
it. Can you squirt water through it?
Not really. I don't know.
No. I feel like that is what I would do. If, no. You know.
No, I don't. You know, I don't squirt water through my gap tooth. My gap is not that big, but... Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm trying to get a front view of... I keep just getting...
Just look at one of the Fashion Hour shots. Yeah. Oh, they're... Alert.
Okay. They are suspiciously thin. You are correct.
They're very thin. And I noticed it immediately. And again, I am not the most observant human being. But, like, I kind of pay attention to brows. Like, I feel like brows kind of... Yeah. Are the frame of the face, you know? Like, you yes. want your brows like to be looking
our
good.
Our friend Felipe has amazing brows.
Oh, I would kill to have Felipe's brows. They're, like, not, so...
Not on yourself, though. They're very masculine.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, he has good shape. Like, it's a good shape. He, yeah. I don't know if he routinely plucks or what, but, like, they always... Like, they're all together, whereas I get, like, stray little hairs everywhere. Yeah. And it's, like, every day I'm plucking a rogue one, you know, trying to go off and form a third eyebrow or something.
Oh. Yeah, I'm looking at hair today, goon tomorrow, and I honestly like Sean's brows a lot better in episode
two. I'm telling you.
Now, I am looking for a gap tooth, and I've yet to see him smile, because Sean doesn't really smile often.
No, you're right. He doesn't smile a ton.
Which is also something that I can relate to. So, I can't really tell if there's a gap there.
Yeah. But either way, his eyebrows look a lot different.
Yeah. No, you're right with the brows. Oh, and he does have a gap tooth. His gap tooth is as noticeable as my gap tooth is. It's not a huge gap tooth, yeah. But it's definitely there.
So he comes in and he's freezing because apparently at 3 a.m. it was 50 below and he had to unload some kind of Turkish freighter. And he wants Corey to make him cocoa. and then he goes and he touches Corey's face with his cold hands. And I love Corey just being like, no cocoa for you. That's it.
Oh, my gosh. I think, yeah, I like how he was like telling the story about it's like he like I didn't want. He was like, it's really cold. And he's like, well, you signed up for the job. And then I said, it's like, well, you got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't do the impression, but I thought it was really funny. Yeah. Corey's basically like, you should have gotten a job at my job. It's actually cushy. I made like all this money in such a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So then he brings Corey or Sean to his job.
Yeah, he wants to show him what's up. He's like, look at, watch me make $20. And so one of the mafia bros is like, here's this envelope. Go to 14th and Pine and mail this. And Corey apparently knows where every fucking mailbox is in this town.
Wild. Ridiculous. To me, wild. He's like, I don't.
Who would know?
I don't want to speak out of turn, but there is no mailbox.
Yeah, and I just love the guys. Like, it's very well done in terms of, like, being a parody of mafia stuff. Because he's like, today there's going to be a mailbox at 14th and Pine.
Today there's going to be a mailbox at 14th and Pine. Don't worry yeah. about it. It will be yeah. there.
And, of course, Corey notices there's no stamp or address on the envelope. And he's like, you're a noticer. I noticed that. You're a noticer.
I'd like that about you, but don't ask any questions and just drop it off. So then yeah. Corey's like, I'm gonna go. And then Sean's like, you know that they're totally in the mob, right? And Corey's like, yeah. No, they're not. No
he's like,
way.
Oh, the nice mob?
And he's like, no. So then Corey quits. He does not go to the mailbox. I would do it.
I'd be nervous. I don't know. I the mean, box, I was like, what's in the envelope?
Later on, very suspect. The envelope,
I feel like being like a kid, you can like probably get yourself out of this, like with the cops if need be.
Yeah.
But it's still a bit of a sketchy situation. And so Corey like immediately quits. And of course, Sean is like, oh, okay, great. Like, there's I'm just going to take over.
Yeah, there's an opening for me now. I want to make $20 doing small tasks. I mean, in this short amount of time, Corey made $160.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too, is Sean gets in their good graces immediately because he, like, is very loyal to Corey. And he's like, don't worry, he's a good guy. Like, he's a good kid. Don't mm-hmm. worry about it. And they're like, oh, you're loyal. We like loyalty, you know. And so they hire him. And he's apparently, like, bringing them hazelnut biscotti.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have, like, what is it? I think they have a joke about, like, the takeout business. Like, ha, 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 the takeout business. And, of course, Corey sees all this going down. And then he's like, what are you doing? Like, you were the one who told me that this is the mafia. Why are you working for them? And he's like, oh, it's just a nice family restaurant in a quiet neighborhood until a car backfires. And they both just like
they jump, leap they onto like, the ground. Yeah, they're like, it's just a car backfiring. And it's like, well, if it's a car backfiring, and like, why are we on the ground? Like, it's they definitely thought it was a gunshot. They're not feeling safe here.
Yeah. And Sean, like, basically says to Corey, he promises, he's like, this is only for a few days. Like, I just want to make some Christmas money so I could buy my friends presents. Like, it's very important to him. And, like, we've seen this come up in the past with Sean where, like, money becomes really important because it's not something he's ever had. And he always feels like, I mean, we saw, do you remember the season one Christmas episode where, like, Sean like says, oh, his dad's gonna get him this and his dad's gonna get him that, mm-hmm. but like they didn't have any money. And so this is like right. a very common thread. And as ridiculous as this episode is, and it is ridiculous, like there are threads of like truth and mm-hmm. realistic things,
right? Like, you know? I mean, that's a great example of an episode, because in that episode the whole thing was that Corey bought Sean this like expensive basketball and or gave him the basketball yeah. that was supposed to be given to him, and then Sean couldn't afford to like repay him with a gift, and they got into that fight because, you know, he felt like a charity case. So this was going to be the first time that he would be able to afford a nice gift for his friends and family, and that's like a big deal, especially right. to him.
Right. And then Corey comes back with like, well, it's going to change you, like watch out. And Sean denies it, you know, whatever. Meanwhile, Eric is driving Lonnie home, and I don't understand why they stop in the middle of a blizzard. Like, to me, it doesn't make sense why you're going to stop your car in the middle of a blizzard. I would keep driving to get to, like, a safe place to stop mm-hmm. rather than just, like, on the side of the road, because apparently they have 5 feet of dense packed snow. And she tells him, like, don't panic, don't worry about it. And he says, oh, I'm going to protect you. And, of course, he, like, tries to slam the door open, which doesn't work. I don't understand how he hits his head so hard.
Who knows? I mean, it's honestly Eric, so, like, anything could happen. He probably, yeah. like, was ramming his entire body into it and just hit his head on the window.
Yeah,
but I think it does make sense. Like, you can't drive through snow like that. He's going to have to, like, stop on the side of the road,
I guess. But like, it's just weird to me that they waited until there's 5 feet of snow to stop somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm on a highway, I'm pulling it's off before in the middle that. Of
nowhere though,
maybe. So this whole story is so ridiculous. So, then we're back at the Matthews house, and Sean comes in and he bought Corey a present. Now, this isn't even Christmas. Like, I don't even know when this is, but apparently, like, this is the Christmas episode. So he's like, oh, I got you a present. And I love the, like, light up my little elf. Oh my gosh. So he gets him this watch, which apparently is very expensive. I don't think they say how much it is, though. I don't remember them saying how much
no,
it is.
No, but it's probably, like, I'm going to guess it's probably, like, $100.
Yeah, which is a lot, especially back mm-hmm. then, and especially for a teenager. Or maybe, like,
$50 to $100 is my yeah. guess.
Which is really kind yeah, of Sean.
Very, very sweet. I can see him, like, picking it out and, like, wanting, yeah. really excited to give it to Corey. So, Corey, they talk about, like, where Corey asks where he got this watch, and they argue about, like, if Sean should keep this mafia job or not.
Yeah, because Corey doesn't like how he bought it. Like, he doesn't like where the money came from that bought the watch. Even though it says, like, it's very cute. It's engraved. It says, to my best friend, Corey.
Like, I that's like very that. Sweet. That's a sweet gift.
Yeah. And Corey's like, well, you said you can quit. Like, why don't you just quit? And Corey says that while he was working there for, like, I don't know, like a few days, I guess, he made $160. And he says to Sean, like, if you quit, I will give you all this money. Like,
that's easy money. That's easier yeah. money than your easy money.
Exactly. And Sean says, no, of course not. Like, keep that money, buy something for Topanga, buy a Christmas present for Topanga. And Corey, you know, is, like, obviously disappointed, but he confirms to Sean that tomorrow that he's coming over. I think it was it like Christmas Eve, I think. And he's going to come over because they have, like, a big get together on Christmas Eve. And so Sean's like, yeah, of course. Like, I'm going to be there. And I mean, Corey does end it very nicely. And he says, you know, thank you for the watch, not because it's a nice watch, but because who it's from. You know, it means a lot that it's from you. Which is very
I do
sweet.
Like how Corey kept it instead of, like, being like, take this back. Like, I don't want it. It's dirty money.
Yeah.
It's a dirty watch. Like, I, you know, it's, I think that would have, like, made Sean sad. I do like that he kept it. I don't know.
He didn't want to end it on a sour note. Yeah. I think, like, he understands where Sean's coming from. Like, his heart is in the right place. It's just, like, he doesn't want Sean to think, like, you have to buy me nice things for us to be good friends. You know, mm-hmm. that's never been a factor in their friendship.
Yeah.
So next, we hear the door banging on the Matthews house, and Lonnie is just dragging Eric inside. He, like, obviously knocked his head. Lonnie goes into this whole story about how they almost died.
Yeah, I like how Lonnie is like, I didn't want to tell your parents this, Eric, but we absolutely almost died. Yeah.
Apparently she held him in her arms naked, and Eric is devastated. He's like, next time that happens, wake me up.
I don't know if, like, I'm thinking, like, if it was, like, a hot man and he had to wrap his arms around me to keep me warm, I do think that I would want to be awake for that.
I mean, fair enough. Also, like, for consent purposes, granted, if he's gonna die, I guess it's not really a sexual thing at that point. It's a, like, survival right. thing, you yeah. know. But yeah, very funny moment. And then Amy brings in the soup. And then we're back with Sean at his job at Sam's, and Mr. Fontaine and Mr. What is it? Martini? Fontini? Yeah.
No, Mr. Fontaine and Mr. Martini want to give him a task on Christmas Eve. And he was supposed to go over to the Matthews family for dinner.
Yeah. So they say, here's a box. You have to take this box to this place. A car is going to come by and take the box. They're going to give you an envelope. Bring the envelope back to us. Mm-hmm. And then they basically say, like, if you do this, we look into, like, hiring you on a permanent basis.
Right.
Like, that seems like an initiation type of situation.
Right. Here. And also the thing is that, like, at first Sean was like, I can't. Like, that's a really tough day for me. It's Christmas yeah. Eve. And then they offer him $200 to do it.
Which is a lot of money, especially for Sean, who, like, didn't grow up with a lot of money.
I would do it.
You know, like, it's a ton of money. Yeah.
I would do it. I need $200, like, now. Like, I want the money.
Yeah. So we see Sean outside in the snow. And, like, first of all, I want to know how far he had to go to, like, bring this box, right?
Because it looked like, find him? It looked like it was back at the docks. Maybe.
Oh,
probably
maybe.
Not. Maybe back at the wherever the docks may be. Like, I never thought that the Matthews. Is Philly even near a body of water like that? I guess so.
Yeah. No, it is. There's, like, rivers and stuff.
So, but it's at the docks. Yeah,
it's strange. Corey finds him and he's like, what are you doing here? We're having Christmas Eve at my house, remember? And then Corey like makes fun of Mr. Fontaine and Mr. Martini by saying, you know, oh, loyalty, I like that. He's like, you're their coffee boy. They don't care if you live or die. I care about you. Your family cares about you. Come spend time with us. But Sean just like fights back again. Like he just mm-hmm. keeps saying he wants money to buy things for his friends. And Corey asks, well, what's in the box then? And Sean doesn't know. He like he hasn't looked.
Yeah.
And he says, as long as I don't open this box, it's not my problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, it could be as simple as like I like to think about like that's a teddy bear. Like it's, you know.
Yeah.
Anything for it to not be.
What it probably is.
But what is it? Like.
It's probably like drugs. That was my guess, drugs. I mean, because Corey says, like, let's guess the street value of the teddy bear. Like,
I never.
To me, it's most likely drugs.
Is that what they do in The Sopranos? They, like, deal drugs? I've never watched
this. I mean, it's so many things. They have their hands in so many different pots in that show. But
I never really thought of, like, what mob people actually do besides fight other mob people.
It's like a lot of it is like there's like stolen stuff. It's they offer people protection for money, which is basically just like blackmailing people for money.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like they basically say like, you know, Corey says they're only 16 years old. Like it's easy to end up on the road that you're currently on. But, like, you don't have to take this road. You can get out.
Make decisions. You know? Go to the path less followed or mostly followed.
Or less taken or whatever. Yeah.
Circling back to the beginning where we're
talking about. Because we have to connect it back to that.
Yeah. So then they decide, like, you know, I don't have to be part of the mob. And let's drop this box off at Sam's and get out of this mafia career that we're getting ourselves into.
Yeah, because he says the difference is that, like, in the poem, or, like, what Corey tries to say is, the difference is in the poem, the guy's alone. Well, you have a best friend, and according to my watch, I do too. And so we should take the road that leads back to my house that doesn't have a box with a teddy bear in it. I like this. I think it's sweet. Like, it's another Corey-Sean connection.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, a bit silly and ridiculous to think of it actually being a thing.
Oh, totally. Like, but I think that it's kind of, I don't know. Like, how did we end up here? Who knows? Does it make sense that, like, Sean joins the mafia? I don't know. But it's where we ended up. And I thought that it was, like, an okay episode. Like, not
it's okay. Our worst. It's certainly not top tier.
Not top tier. Not our worst.
No.
I think that the B storyline is, like, not awful terrible.
It's fine. Oh, and we do get the last scene where, like, it's Christmas Eve still. And Alan is, like, opening up a box with, like, a shirt he had already picked out. And Eric tries to, like, tell Lonnie that there's a blizzard. And then they do, like, a group photo. But, like, Feeney and Turner are there, too.
Yeah.
It's, like, everybody is involved in this Christmas Eve party.
It's, like, Merry Christmas from, like,
yeah.
Boy Meets World. Does it say that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, this was a weird Christmas episode. And I don't know why, like, every single Christmas episode has to have somebody with, like, a stereotypical Jersey accent going back to, like, the Bada Bang Bada Boom gnome.
Yeah, there's the Bada Bang Bada Boom guy.
Yeah, there's something about MVP. Christmas and Boy Meets World that just makes you want to talk like this and say, like, you know, we're going to have some dealings. And, like,
Go give me a cappuccino with the cinnamon, kid.
Yeah, and we're going to give you a box. And if you do it, then I'm going to give you $200.
Yeah, it's just, it's very funny. It's very, like, it's like a parody, so I can appreciate that.
It's a serialized episode. You love serialized episodes. Oh, not genre episodes, sorry. Genre.
Yeah, fair,
it's
fair.
It's just like the chicken nugget episode.
Of Community. Yeah. I mean, not quite, but sure.
It's same caliber of episode. If you don't know Community, that's like, there's this, like, chicken
there's
nugget.
There's the mafia episode.
Chicken episode.
Yes.
And it's like revered as like one of the best episodes.
It is. But yet this one was fine. It's a bit, it is like I was laughing at the ridiculousness of it, but yeah. like I was still laughing. So, you know, you can't be mad at it. But let's take a quick ad break before we get into the next episode of Boy Meets World that we have to discuss.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's get into B&B's B&B.
Perfect name. The perfect name for an episode. Never been done before. Truly inspirational. B&B's B&B.
But who are the B and the B?
But who is B&B?
It's not BMW's B&B. It's B&B.
Who is B and who is B? That is a great question.
They didn't change their names, did they, for this? Like, did they?
No.
They didn't call, they're still Sean and Corey.
No freaking clue. In fact, there is not a B in Sean Hunter, Corey Matthews, or Topanga Lawrence. There is no B in any of those names. Not
why
one
did they do this?
B. I don't know. Even George Feeney, not a B. Who's the B in the B&B?
None of this is a mystery that only the detective babysitters can solve, I think. I need to call in the detective babysitters.
Oh my god, hold on, I might have figured it out. The writers of this episode is Howard Busgang and Mark Blutman.
What egomaniacs that they're just like, oh bitch, it's our B&B.
The writers are like, this is our B&B. Meanwhile, we don't even know who these motherfuckers are.
We're like, who are these old white men? I don't know.
It's what? Like they're like we're the B&B and we're gonna name the episode after us. It's like, you don't, Mark B&B's and Howard B&B. You don't get it. You don't get to name the
Mark
episode.
And Howard need to not. How about that?
Yeah. Let's, is this even in the trivia? Like, is this people no. This is ridiculous.
No one knows. Maybe you're the first person to figure it out, though.
I very well might be the very first person to figure out whose B&B it is. It's,
I mean,
you know, that famous B&B, Busgang and Blutman.
What unfortunate last name.
Busgang. What kind of name is Busgang?
A bad one.
Mr. Busgang.
Busgang. I don't know.
Is it German?
I don't know. So this episode is great. This episode is great. I'm excited.
High tier television, I would say.
So we start off with, I think both storylines for me, the A and the B, work in this episode.
And I don't even know which one's A and I don't know which one's B. I think that they're 50-50.
I think the Sean and Corey are probably A.
But I got excited every time we go to storyline B. What do we got? Feeney's going on a vacay.
Yeah, so Eric is first going to Boston for a camping show. And Alan is like, Eric, you're not there to party. You're there to, like, apparently do research for the store or something.
What is this, like, convention that he's going to?
Some kind of camping convention, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's that whole situation. And then Feeney runs in, and he's trying to hide from Sean. Because Sean desperately wants to drop economics. He doesn't want to do this project where he has to, like, come up with a business, pretend he's running it, and write an essay. Like, it doesn't seem that difficult, no, Sean. I'm just saying.
I have something to admit. After all this time, I still don't know the difference between macro and microeconomics.
Macro is, like, big, and micro is small.
Okay, but, like, that's something that I could have spelled out to my own.
Well, then I don't know. That's the extent of my knowledge. I'm certainly not an economics major. Good
I know,
God.
But, like, I feel like that's the first thing that you learn in economics. And I
will
don't
Google.
Know.
Hold on. Macro versus microeconomics. Apparently, a lot of people have Googled this.
Yeah.
Okay. Microeconomics is the study of individuals and business decisions, while macroeconomics looks at the decisions of countries and governments. There you go.
Stunning.
Micros, individuals, yeah. Macros, larger scale.
Got it.
So yeah, he wants to drop economics. And Feeney's like, dude, just like do the work. He doesn't say dude, but do the work, Sean. Just do the work. It's not that hard.
Yeah, this is like the dream that we all have when you're like, I took a class and I haven't showed up all semester, but now I want to drop the class, but in real life.
Yeah, basically. This is the real life situation. And so Feeney gives Amy his keys to his house because he's going away to stay in a B&B, which, like, okay, here's the situation. Mm-hmm. Have you stayed in a B&B? Are you a B&B stayer?
Absolutely I am.
Okay. I would never.
You would never.
I don't like, first of all, I don't like that, like, a B&B is, like, in someone's house. Like, it weirds me out.
Jessica.
Secondly.
Okay, I'm going to stop down for 1 second. Jessica, you went to Seattle, and after you went to the hotel, where did you stay?
I stayed at an Airbnb.
And what the fuck do you think the business model of an Airbnb came from?
It's similar but different. And here's the reason. We had our own bathroom. We had our own kitchen. We had our own entire floor. Like, I didn't even know other people existed in the same space as us because we never, ever saw them after we checked in. That is what I want out of my vacation. I don't want to see strangers. I don't want to speak to strangers. I certainly don't want to eat breakfast with strangers.
Okay. I hear you. But you can also sign up for different breakfast times. So, like, technically, you don't really have to, like, see the strangers.
Is it awkward though, like, it's when not. You go down for breakfast and there's like some rando cooking for you?
It's not. I mean, you know what you're getting into. But what's the difference of like you staying at like a Hyatt and they have continental breakfast and there's somebody like making waffles for you?
Because it's more like corporate. It's not as, like, personal.
But they're, like, so nice. And they're like, hi, this is my, like, family recipe of, like, baked oatmeal that, like,
but I don't want made. Your family recipe of baked oatmeal. I don't want to talk to people I don't know. That's the difference. Is I don't – once I check in to wherever I'm staying, bye, see you never. I hope I never see you again. This is my vacation.
Yeah. Now. I mean, I've stayed at B&B. I feel like you know what you're getting into. Side. There's, like – there's a charm about it. And
I just like, – they picture, like – China, like, I picture those, like, porcelain dolls that stare at you when I think of B&Bs. You know what I mean? Like, they're very, like, old like, and, like, creepy.
You're envisioning, like, a haunted Victorian mansion with demon dolls that will murder you. I've never stayed in a B&B room that had porcelain dolls as decor.
Well, that's good.
I don't think that that's favorable in this day and age. But
no, but do you, okay, is it also crazy to you that Feeney was going to spend $200 a night at this B&B back in the 90s, $200
a night? I mean, that's an expensive place, but also he's trying to impress his lady friend.
That's true. So apparently nowadays that would be like $339.
I mean, it's steep, but there's like B&Bs that cost like...
Bitch, you can Airbnbs. Get, like, a suite at a hotel.
I mean, you don't know, Jessica. Like, maybe, like, he has, like, the honeymoon suite. Like, there's, like, I've never shared. Coffee. When I went to, when I've stayed at bed and breakfasts, like, typically, I do get my own bathroom. Like, maybe they got, like, the honeymoon suite or, like, the big suite with, like, its own bathroom. And, like, a kitchenette, like, maybe that's what's going on. Like, maybe it's, like, the nicest place. And if you see this woman, like, three times a year, of course you're going to want to shell out money for the nicest place.
I guess so. But I just think it's just weird to me because I feel like this convention is at a hotel. So, like, why is he going to a B&B? But
he's not going to the convention. I don't know why.
Why is he there?
I think that it's, like, one of those... That's a good question. Like,
we'll have to dig into that.
The hotel bar. He was like hanging out at the hotel bar.
That's what I'm saying. So Feeney gives them a list. There's plants that need water, plants that need vitamins, and plants that need to be turned in the sun.
Check, check, check. Yeah.
I was going to say Sarah can relate to this.
Yeah. Like if you – it's really hard. It's like one thing to get a house sitter. It's another thing to get a pet sitter. And it's a third thing to do, get a person that can be your plant sitter as well. I would need somebody to like really, really take care of everything.
Yeah. No, like don't count on me for that because there's no way I'm going to keep your plants alive.
Yeah.
So Amy gives immediately like throws the keys to Corey and it's like, don't kill the plants. Like, all right.
Which is Amy. Amy, you know, Corey's not bad on like, her. Corey tries to be responsible, but he always gets dragged into things way too easily.
Exactly. So, of course, Corey and Sean immediately go over to Feeny's. And, like, Sean is looking at everything. He's so curious about what Feeny's house looks like.
I would absolutely go through everything. Are you kidding me? If I was at Feeny's house, every single object in that house would be inspected. There would not be a book left unturned. There would not be a statue not evaluated. I would look at every single detail and every single knickknack, every single cabinet, every single drawer, every single room, every single closet, I would look under every single bed. Like, are you kidding me? I would spend all damn day there. I would. I really, really would. Especially Feeny. And I said to you once that I would not go through the nightstand. At Feeny's house, we are looking in the nightstand, ma'am.
Oh my gosh, the audacity.
What kind of handcuffs does Feeny keep in his nightstand?
Ew, why would you want to know?
What kind of toys are in the Feeny house? And I'm telling you, there ain't going to be no Victorian dolls, but there will be secrets up in there.
Oh my God. Here's the thing. Like, if it was my teacher's house, like, of course, I'd be going through all their stuff.
Yes.
Of course I would. And Feeny, especially Feeny's house, because you know he has, like, antiques and, like, he's traveled.
There is antiquities.
Some cool shit.
How many diaries are there? How many shrines can we find? Like, are you kidding me? I would spend all damn day in Feeny's house looking at every single thing.
Except all Sean wants to do is go jump on his freaking bed.
I would not jump on beds. But jumping on beds is not fun. I don't know why jumping on beds has rumored to be fun. And I see no monkeys. I think like people are like, oh, those monkeys are having fun jumping on the bed. But I will not be on any beds jumping.
So Corey, meanwhile, is watering the plants. And of course, he thinks he sees his history paper. But good old Feeny con, good old Feeny prank. Yeah. He's like, haha, gotcha. And Sean screams because he thought he saw a poster of himself, but it was a mirror. No, it was actually a poster of Sean, though, right?
I think it was a poster of himself.
It definitely was. You
know, I think so.
And so he says there's 3 bedrooms, a 6-foot round tub, jets, beach, what?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Feeny's house is a top tier.
Yeah.
B&B.
And this is when Sean has his idea for the economics project. And he, of course, we all know what it's going to be. Then we get Eric at like what I think is like a hotel bar, because like, it makes sense if you're going to like this camping convention, they usually have them at hotels and people stay there. And so he's at this hotel bar and he calls himself Dylan Hightower. He was on the cover of Forbes magazine.
Not the Forbes.
The Forbes. That joke, I don't know why it was so funny to me, but the Forbes joke killed me. For Forbes. I think it was because one of those things that, like, as a kid, I didn't understand. Like, I didn't get the joke.
Yeah.
And now I do.
Now you get it.
Yeah. And the bartender immediately clocks him. She's like, this is your first convention. You work for your daddy.
Yeah. He's like, can I have a root beer? A beer. And she's like, you can have a root beer.
Yeah, actually, no. And she slides the drink and Feeny catches it. And of course, Feeny is there.
How is Feeny there? Feeny's
because he followed Eric.
Following Eric. But he says that he's not following Eric. He says that he's not.
He denies it.
So like, what's the logistics? He's staying at this B&B, but in reality, he's hanging out at the hotel bar.
I think here's the situation, because he says he's going to be having dinner in the hotel with a lady friend. So I think he just is visiting the – maybe she – here's my – okay, here's the thing. she's staying. Oh, I know what it is. Okay. Because they like to play like cat and mouse. So she books a room at the hotel and they plan on having dinner in the hotel. Mm-hmm. And depending on how it goes, they can either go back to the Feeny suite in the B&B or part ways. So Feeny wants a backup plan. This is my theory.
Fine. That's fine. But I just feel, I don't like the situation that Feeny finds himself in.
I mean, no, it's not a good situation. So we get more information on Feeny, and this is when he tells Eric about all of this stuff. So, and we don't get a ton of Feeny background. Like, that's why it makes episodes like this, like, so special and so important.
Yeah, so exciting.
Yeah. So apparently he's waiting to have dinner with a lady friend in the hotel. And I love Eric, how Eric's like, why don't I know about her? Feeny's like, I don't ask you about your girlfriends. So he's known her for 15 years, which is like, it's a pretty decent amount of time.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
They're both teachers.
She's also a teacher. She's the female Feeny. And 3 to 4 times a year they meet up, and they always, every single time they have dinner, one of them asks the other one to give it all up. And he says, this year is my turn. And she'll smile and she'll ask, why can't we just keep things the way they are? And then he'll say, if that's what you truly want, and then he'll go home.
Right.
And that's the end of it.
And he claims that, like, it goes back and forth. Like, sometimes when they visit, like, he asks, sometimes when they visit, she asks. Right. Like, it's not always Feeny asking, apparently. Her saying no, sometimes it's the other way around. But because they apparently both like their jobs and where they're at. But I don't know. It makes me so sad that Feeny's in this position where it's like he's in this like non-relationship, and it's like monopolizing a lot of his emotional capacity to find love. I just, like, I don't like the stagnant situation.
It's not fun. So he had a wife for a long time, we know, and then she died, we know that, and then it seems like ever since then he's had this will they won't they with this woman, and it's just sad because you just want happiness for poor Feeny. Yeah. And it's like, can't we just find him somebody who's local?
Yeah, and this woman's not the dentist. I think he loves this woman, and I think that he does. I think the dentist is just like somebody that he hooks up with.
Oh, it's like a friends with benefits, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
But like he really, really likes this woman. Or maybe even loves this woman, probably his first love, probably his only love since his wife passed away. So it's kind of sad that it's just not working out.
Yeah. And we'll get into that a little bit more later. But meanwhile, Sean is at Feeny's house. He's ready to start working on his school project. And he tells him, oh, yeah, I've turned Feeny's house into a bed and breakfast. There's nothing to worry about. Guests are checked in. There's the Timmers. And I don't understand how all of these adults think that Corey and Sean are adults. They're children.
I think that, like, they're just not asking questions. Like, sometimes there's, like, a real family atmosphere to B&Bs. I've never seen a child work one, but
let me have my child check you in. It's ridiculous. And I love how Sean basically says, like, listen, Feeny wanted this to happen. He gave us the keys. Yeah. He knew I had this project. This is him making this happen for us.
Right. And Corey's just, like, very, very worried. He's worried about all the stuff. And he's even surprised to see another helper.
Yes. So we have Topanga being the concierge.
Wow, Topanga. Like,
ridiculous. She even says, like, she does all this just to get money. Like, who is Topanga, this girl?
You're rich. You just had a Sweet 16. How much, like, money do you need? What, she said that she wanted money so she could go shopping or something?
Like, who is this Topanga? This is not the Topanga we know.
I don't know. But I don't mind this Topanga that's like, no, I'm here for funny. The scam.
So we have, right, so we have the Timmers, and then the Moore Parks are the ones who are napping. Apparently, they're newlyweds. And then we have they're newlyweds.
No, before that.
The Moore Parks?
No. You said the Timmers? Apparently they're what?
Newlyweds.
Before that.
They're napping.
Jessica. They're what? Fucking. They're fucking the whole entire time. I know
what they're doing. I'm saying what they said they were doing.
No, they were definitely. They were like, oh, they're like in the room.
Yeah, they're napping is what he said. Keep your voice down. The Moore Parks are napping. That's what he says. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you knew they were
I know what they were doing, especially because of the end scene. So, and then there's the Dutch couple. And I just love how, like, Sean is trying to sell everything in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. Everything's for sale. Everything that you see here is for sale. Love how Sean all of a sudden speaks Dutch. In the last episode, he spoke Italian. He has a real knack for languages now.
He's so good at languages. He really missed his calling at, like, traveling. I mean, maybe he should have left school and just traveled around like he wanted to. He
probably
to.
Should have.
Get a bus to Paris.
He could speak. He should. He should get a bus to Paris. He can speak Dutch. He can speak Italian. He spoke. Mm-hmm. He can speak other languages I've seen.
He's spoken a lot of languages on the show. Fantastic. Amazing. Back to Feeny and Eric. So we see Eric still at the bar, and he's talking to the bartender woman. And he's like, she's like, oh, who's Feeny? He's like, oh, he's my teacher. He's my neighbor. He's really concerned with where my life is going. He's bugged our entire house. He has collages of us up in his rooms. You know, the huge.
Just the normal stuff in life.
And, like, I don't understand this woman. She's just like, everybody's charmed by Eric. She wants to buy him dinner.
Do you want to go out with me? And he's like, absolutely, I do. But then he turns around and then he sees a sad Feeny sitting.
Very sad.
Sitting all alone. Like, and he's like, and, you know, he's like, as much as I want to go with you, I have to help my friend. And I just like, I was like, oh my gosh. And like, you can tell that he wanted to go on the date, but like, there's no way he's going to let Feeny be sad all by himself.
No. And it was very sweet. And so he goes over to Feeny and he says, you know, how are you? Are you all right? And Feeny kind of opens up to Eric and he says, you know, I look forward to this every year. I look forward to seeing her. We always part like friends. We always say no. And Eric asks if they'd be willing to give up the lives they've made. And Feeny says that he isn't a risk taker. He missed his chance at true love. Which, like, it's really sad to think about. Like, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily true, though. Because, like, he was married.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally don't believe that, like, there is only one person in the entire world for everybody, right? Like, people can meet you at different times. Sometimes the timing doesn't work out in relationships. Sometimes, you know, sometimes things just don't work out. And so I feel bad for Feeny here. And I feel like he regrets all these 15 years of not just giving it up and going to be with
her. Of not taking that risk, taking that chance. And yeah. Following your heart and not, you know, Feeny's a very logical person, a very practical person. I don't think that he's the type of person to take a risk and potentially lose or like not progress in his career for love. It is extremely sad. I think that when you lose a spouse, especially young or maybe even especially old, and you feel like that, like, how else are you going to find somebody that you love as much as them? Like, you feel like it's impossible. I think it's possible. I mean, I think that maybe Feeny hasn't been ready to open up his heart to somebody else fully.
And he also puts a lot of focus on his career. Like, his passion is his career.
Yeah, his students.
And he takes that so seriously, and he doesn't want to uproot his entire life because he's so grounded in his job.
Right, exactly. But I think that this does make me sad. And obviously, just because the woman is a woman doesn't mean that she should feel any differently either.
Of course. I like that. I actually like that about the storyline, that like she wasn't willing to move either. They're both the same in that way.
Yeah.
And it's just the timing hasn't worked out. Neither one of them has ever been willing to move.
I wish this show ultimately like let Feeny find love. Like,
yeah.
I think that would have been a nice little touch. Like, once again, I know this show's not really about Feeny, but I think that they could have incorporated a new relationship.
There is no Boy Meets World without Feeny. That's the thing.
Yeah, no,
like,
there's
he's
not.
He's a major part of the show, and like, it wouldn't have hurt them to have him find love beyond his job and educating these kids.
Does he, I'm trying to remember if he might have had like a relationship with the dean.
He's had dates. Yeah, I want to say later on maybe.
Does
he? See, I don't remember.
I think he might have married the dean.
Does. Okay, good. So we take it all back. We're happy for Feeny.
What kind of fans are we?
Listen, I don't remember things. But Feeny says that love can come at any time. And he says, you know what? You've got your friends. So then Feeny, this is very cute. And this is the stuff that I love. Like, I love the Feeny-Eric relationship. And Feeny offers to take Eric to dinner. And I love him being like, something riskier? Let's hit the town. Check out the action. Cruise for chicks. And I love that. Feeny says, cruise for chicks. And Eric says, and their mothers.
And their mothers. Feeny, you go pick up a 20-something-year-old. Why not?
Oh, yuck.
What? Consenting 20s?
He's too old for that nonsense. He needs someone, like, wise and educated and sophisticated. That's who he needs. And sure. Someone who's going to spice his life up.
Sure.
So back at the Feeny household, Corey, I love this scene. Corey is playing piano and all the guests are like singing.
It's so good. He's so joyful and happy and living his best life.
And they tip
life.
So well.
These people
just like 20s,
are hustlers.
20s, 20s, 20s. Yeah.
These people inspire me for my next side gig. These two episodes.
Yes. Is that right?
I mean, they're all about making money. Like, this is the story arc, the two-episode story arc about how Corey and Sean need money.
Yeah, right? That's what these are definitely about, is everybody needs money. I love Topanga being like, don't forget, tomorrow we have a nature trail. Wear comfortable shoes. And Corey is like, I know we're going to get caught. We'll need this money for bail. And Sean is like, we're not going to get caught. They're all leaving tomorrow. And Corey says, well, we have to get caught. Like, the world wouldn't be in the right order if we didn't get caught.
Yeah, he's like, this show wouldn't be Boy Meets World if we didn't get caught.
Yeah, we have to learn a valuable life lesson. So they have to figure out breakfast for the following morning, which Corey is such a little shyster. He's like, oh, okay, we don't say grace enough in this household. So everybody has to bow their heads for grace.
And then picking up this pancakes one by one and throwing it to the back while, who is it, like Sean catches them?
Yes. Sean is outside catching these pancakes. Great arm on Corey, apparently. And then he says grace. And then they, like, apparently... Like, all these house guests at this B&B are super kind, and they're like, the Timmers did the dishes, everybody cleaned up after them.
Yeah, they're like, we had such a great time. Because you were such great hosts, we decided to help you clean up.
Like, bitch, what in what world? And, of course, Feeny comes home, and so Corey is like, yes, the universe still cares about us.
But as soon as Feeny comes in, the two couples are leaving through the back door.
Yeah, everybody's leaving through the back door, and Feeny ended up forgetting a bag in his car. So Sean is like, okay, everybody out, everybody out. And everybody's like, oh, we'll just share a cab together. It'll be so much fun.
We are the Dimas.
Yes, that's the Dimas.
That's what they can say. Yeah. And then And didn't they also try to steal something?
Arnie took Feeny's statue, but they did drop it back off.
That's nice of them.
And that is when, like, Sean puts it back. He's like, oh, we were just, like, polishing it up or whatever. Yes,
yeah. And Feeny is asked them, like, how the whole B&B went. And they're like, how much did you make? How did you know? Oh, the cabbie told me when I gave him the address that it was a great bed and breakfast.
Yeah, get the room with the jacuzzi. And Sean is like, oh, I forgot to deport the cab driver. Sean, what is wrong with you?
Sean, that's not very nice of you. That's not a very funny joke.
Yeah, no.
And how much did they make?
Did they say?
I didn't write it down.
I feel like
it was a good amount of money.
It was a good amount because he knew how much Feeny was going to be paying at his B&B, so he charged appropriately, right? And you have the jacuzzi, which charge extra for that.
They made at least $1,000.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he has to give it all to Feeny until he goes to college.
Actually, that was like a really nice thing. Like, I'm going to save it for you until you go to college. That's like when I get to a certain age. I love this thing. When I have a kid, like, I'm going to make them pay rent, but I'm going to take all the rent money and put it away for them.
Yeah.
For when they're independent. Like, how nice is that?
That's a good idea. And then you have a big chunk of money to give. Yes. And I love how Feeny is like, you know what? You're in trouble as usual, but I do have a soft spot for risk takers. Which, like, I like that Feeny can even learn, like, tiny lessons along the way. Feeny learned a lesson.
Like, how nice is that? Feeny learned a lesson himself.
It is. And, like, it's very sweet. And he says, like, oh, yeah, you're definitely going to college. You have the smarts and you'll get into college, which, like, probably not a lot of people have said that to Sean. And so I feel like that's, like, a really important thing and has a lot of weight coming from Feeny, you know, because Feeny has really high expectations and high standards for people.
Mm-hmm.
Very cute. And then we get the final scene, which is Feeny knocking on the door for the honeymoon couple. They paid for two nights and he says, you have to vacate my bedroom immediately. Checkout time is now. Apparently a girl just walks in a nurse outfit and then leaves. And he's like, I know when love comes, you must seize it. I was young once. And we get this, like, elderly couple leaving the room. It's like,
hey, yo.
Whoa, they've had an exciting couple of nights.
Hey, yo. Love that for them. Did you say a nurse outfit? It was Topanga in a maid outfit.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was Topanga, and she was in a maid outfit.
What nurses are... I misunderstood the whole thing. I thought it was like some type of threesome situation.
No. Topanga is not part of the threesome.
The menage a trois.
It was Topanga in a maid's outfit, and she was like cleaning. And then, I mean, unless like Topanga, like this was part of the excursion, but this I don't think so. This is
very funny. The part of the excursion. Yeah, oh, my goodness. Amazing.
Yeah. Did you know that this is the one episode that shows the inside of Feeny's house besides from like a window?
This isn't surprising. I feel like
I love Feeny's house. I want to move to Feeny's house. It's
beautiful. Yeah.
So cozy. There's a jacuzzi. I love Feeny's house. All those knickknacks and statues.
Yeah. No, he has a really nice house. It has like a very like antique-y vibes, you know.
Love it. I love this episode. Feeny's house. I want to move to Feeny's house. Love Feeny. Love a Feeny episode. Thought the B&B was funny. I love that we now know who B&B is.
We might know.
I think we might know who B&B is. We still might need
to hire the detective babysitters.
This is a job for the detective babysitters.
I still can't remember if that's actually what they do or not.
The babysitters club has detective books.
Well, then I'm right. I don't remember how this all started, but I remember this being a thing.
Yeah, I said that they don't solve mysteries, but they have solved mysteries. I lied.
Okay, so there you go.
I didn't lie. Right. I just like recently learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into our fashion hour. We're going to start, of course, with the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. I had to start. This is from the first episode we discussed, Easy Street. I had to start with Eric's sweater. This is when he's in the store, like, comforting Lonnie, and she, like, rubs her nasty snot all over his sweater.
Ew.
Because it gives me, like, a big 90s dad sweater vibes. It's, like, a V-neck sweater with, like, it's kind of, like, a dark olivey green. And it has this, like, almost like a wallpapery pattern.
It looks so cozy. It's like a Christmas sweater. Like, a
yeah,
an ugly Christmas sweater, but it's not that ugly. It looks itchy.
Yeah, it does kind of look itchy. And he's wearing, like, a medium wash denim jean, of course, mm-hmm. and some type of, like, gray t-shirt or white t-shirt underneath it.
Yeah.
His hair is swoopy, as always.
Swoops. Yeah, it's, like, very, very 90s sweater. Now you can find this at your local thrift shop, Goodwill. Yes. Like, I mean, they're, absolutely. Like, a dime a dozen now. But yeah. I think that this is very, like, Christmas sweater appropriate, as this was the Christmas episode.
Yes. Up next, you know the rule is when I see an overall, it must go in the fashion hour. And Amy was wearing overalls.
Amy, why are you wearing overalls?
And this is in the B&B episode when Feeny's giving her the keys. She's wearing, like, a light wash denim overall with white ribbed sweater underneath. She has, like, a choker with little dangly bits. Her hair, I think, is actually looking quite cute. Like, it still has that 90s flair, but it's not as, like, poofy and layered mm-hmm. as it was previously. And she's wearing, I can't really tell what her shoes are, to be honest. They kind of look like maybe like Keds or something. It's really hard to tell, though, in the episode.
Yeah, maybe a Converse, something along those lines. What kind of like hole did Oshkosh B'gosh have on the 90s shows? I don't know.
Yeah, so those were my two picks. I only had two picks this for the 90s outfit. Okay. So which one are you vibing
with? I mean, I do like the undershirt with Amy has, like, an eyelet sweater detail. It's pretty, but I'm like, ho, 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 bitches. It's almost the Christmas season. Let's give it to Eric and his Christmas sweater.
Right. Yeah, we're a little early for us, personally, to be talking Christmas, but that's okay. We got to talk Thanksgiving around Thanksgiving, so I feel like our timing isn't that far off here.
I mean, we got to talk about Thanksgiving around Halloween, and now we're talking about Christmas during. We're, like, a month ahead.
We are. We're a little ahead, but it's better than talking about, like, Christmas in July. So next up, the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness. Congratulations to Paul Rudd, by the way, who won People's, like, Sexiest Man.
And I agree. I do think that he's the sexiest man.
He is sexy. Because you know what? Sexy. Funny is sexy. Gotta say it.
And I do want to put my opinion in there. I do agree that I think that men think Ryan Reynolds is attractive and think that that's what women think is attractive. But I think it's for the, I think Ryan Reynolds is for the male gaze. And I think that Paul Rudd is for the female gaze. And I saw this whole entire thing. Like, if you go to Chris Hemsworth's Instagram, I know this is off topic, but if you go to Chris Hemsworth's Instagram page, there is a distinct difference about which pictures are for men and which pictures are for women.
This women is
do most women, I know, like, everybody's different. Most women are not interested in looking at all the workout, like, buff, like,
no, armpits. I never want to see now, that. Like, don't make me feel guilty. I'm not about to work out.
Now, what we do find attractive on Chris Hemsworth's Instagram, this is for the female gaze, while the workout pictures is for the male gaze. This is my hypothesis. Like, I'm going to die on this hill. sorry. I had to get this out, and this is, like, the only place that's that we fine. Can get this out. Now, if you scroll down on Chris Hemsworth's pictures and you see him in this black shirt, pulled down and kind eyes, this picture is for the female gaze. This is a photo for women.
Because they want emotionally available men.
Well, this picture of him punching a punching bag with his arms is for men. Women, most women.
Because men are like, I want my arms to be like that.
Most women do not want this picture.
I don't want that at all.
Exactly. Now, this picture of Chris Hemsworth on a bike in a beautiful setting is for women. I do want to see you on a bike with your hat in on. I do want to see that. That's correct.
And we'd get into a 10-minute conversation about Chris Hemsworth Instagram.
Yeah. This picture of Chris Hemsworth with pizza. I do want to see.
Yeah. I want to see all the pizza.
I do want to see that.
This is ridiculous.
Chris Hemsworth. Hold on. One more. Chris Hemsworth. This video where he's measuring his arms at the gym.
Are you serious? That's so stupid.
Is for men. That picture is not for women. So this is my new hypothesis. It's not my personally, like I saw this elsewhere and I 100% agree with this. If you would like to go through Instagrams and talk about what's for the male gaze and the female gaze, I will go through it because I have opinions on this. Now, what were we doing?
We're talking about Paul Rudd because it's time for the Paul Rudd.
Oh, yes. So, yes, I do think that Paul Rudd is hot.
There you go. So first up, we have Topanga in her concierge outfit. She is wearing a beautiful blue dress. It is like a deep, kind of like a sapphire blue. She has spaghetti straps. It has like a nice scoop neck. Her hair is pulled back half up, half down in like a cute, like velvety black barrette with like a little gem in the middle. And she's wearing these almost like chunky high heel strappy sandals. And the dress even has like a nice silk bottom part. I don't know what it's called. Wrap little silky part.
Ah, like a satin trim.
There you go. Satin trim.
Satin trim. Yeah, like I really think this blue, this royal cobalt blue color is beautiful on Topanga. Mm-hmm. She doesn't wear it often. She's more of a red girl, but this picture, I mean, this dress, this color is beautiful on her. Mm-hmm. Hair looks good. I like the shoes. I mean, this is like a timeless dress. Like,
yeah, there's a lot to like here.
Yeah, you could wear this dress at any time.
Next up, we have Sean. This is his doc working outfit. So he's wearing a lot of black. He's wearing a black pea coat, black leather gloves, black scarf, and a black beanie. And underneath, I took other pictures because I've imagined this is what he's wearing underneath this. Looks like a very cozy, dark, dark gray sweater with some metal buttons, kind of like a Henley style at the top. Really love this outfit for Sean.
Yeah, I think that Sean's outerwear is very nice. I mean, mm-hmm. I can never complain at all. Black and the black scarf and the beanie, yes, and the black gloves is very nice. The shirt itself underneath is really nice. Now, do we dock the points for the spermy brows?
I mean, I don't think we can because we're going to have to dock him for the rest of the season if that's
the case. Why would
he
do this to his brows? Who plucked his brows? I want to know
names. I don't know. I know. It's very concerning.
Let's look at the IMDb makeup department and docks,
who can we blame?
Docks this person. No, but I like the outerwear and the shirts. Mm-hmm. The shirt's fine. I think I like the outerwear more than the shirt, but I like it.
Yeah. And last up, we have Corey here. This is when Sean comes to visit him in the early morning on the dock scene. And he's wearing, the reason I chose this because I thought the sweater Corey was wearing, a lot of nice sweaters these episodes. Corey is wearing a similarly colored, so kind of like a dark gray sweater, but it has a zipper instead of the buttons at the top. And I just think like something like this type of sweater is a very classic wintery sweater.
I really like this sweater a lot. I think that's like very classic. Classy, and it's like a little bit raised on the neck, and I like the zipper. It looks like a really, really nice sweater. I like it a lot.
So who are you giving your point to?
Oh, goodness.
I know there's a lot of good options today.
I mean, I really like Corey's sweater, but I think ultimately, like, Sean's outerwear is what is going to take it home. For me.
Okay, so congratulations to Sean and to Eric for your awards. Amazing. I really like these episodes.
Spectacular. Okay, Kimberly Fialo and Karen Dahl of the makeup department. I have words for you, and I want to know, or it could be Steve Hick or Ellen Allen. Whoa. at the costume and wardrobe department. One of those people are responsible for Sean's brows, and I will.
Which one of you was
speak
it?
Speak to you. It could have been Ellen Allen because she has a name. A name. Ellen Allen. Two L's.
She has a name.
Ellen, two L's and Ellen, two L's and Allen.
It's a lot.
Whoa.
It's a lot.
Yep.
Amazing. Yeah, I liked these episodes. I feel like these were really fun to chat about. I feel like we have not had a ton of duds in season four. Like, no. Singled Out is like my main complaint.
No, I like Singled Out. We're dudless. Dudless.
Dudless. But next week, we're coming back with another two episodes here. So season four, episodes 14 and 15, Wheels and Chick Like Me. And We're Not Alone.
We're Not Alone.
So many guests, which I love. I love having guests on. And of course, this person should be familiar to you all because she has joined us, I believe, twice before. I think this is her third appearance. Kayla is coming back to chat with us. I'm really excited.
Yay!
It's going to be fun.
All right. I'm excited.
Sarah, what else do we have coming up for our dear listeners?
Yes, this coming up Saturday, we are releasing our second movie for Julia Roberts month, Runaway Bride with our friend Kiers. So much fun. There's like a big surprise that's awaiting. Probably my most interesting internet find.
Yes.
That I've ever found.
Cannot wait for everyone to hear all about that. It's very, very fun.
Also this weekend, you and I are having a slumber party. And what we're going to do there is record our reactions to the first episode of Felicity.
Yes.
Yes. We've never seen Felicity.
We haven't.
But people want us to talk about Felicity, so we are doing it. Catch us. Follow along at ShitNannySpot on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me at Sarah Ferguson. Check out our website, www.shit90spod.com, where you can leave a voicemail or send us feedback or give us a review. All that's good stuff. What's up with you, Jessica?
We are in the heart of Community right now, season two Community, some of the best episodes of all time. So check that out over at Post Show Recaps. And of course, I talk about this every week. Grace, myself, and Josh are covering Succession also at Post Show Recaps. I'm really enjoying the season. We're over halfway through it. So go check that out as well and subscribe. It's been a really fun time. So check that out. You can also find me at TheJessSterling on Twitter. I think that's all we have today, but we will be back next week with more Boy Meets World coverage. As always, if you know what B&B stands for, please let us know. We're on the hunt.
I think we know.
We may have figured it out. But thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next time. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.